Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Okay, we're back where we belong. Reggie, behind the glass, moving the knobs. Me, on the other side of the glass, moving the conversation. Socially distanced, not masked up, but we are socially distanced, so I feel safe. Anyway, we got a little special guest here today, so let's get right to it. Put it in the books, episode 220. Looks like all the dials are bouncing in the correct manner. So let's do this. I'll give you my three S's, and then we will get started. Ready? Star, smile, strong. And 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Whatever platform that is, we are there. So don't forget to subscribe to that platform, rate this podcast, and most importantly, spread the word. Tell your friends. Send them a link. Send them a message. Send them the information that they need to make sure that they are aware that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and why the heck isn't it theirs? And as always, your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated. If you are a new listener or a longtime listener, don't forget you can hear previous episodes of this podcast. Just going to WGNradio.com, go to the podcast section. There's a prompt for this podcast. You hit that, and all previous 219 episodes are there for your podcasting perusal and binging. So strap on the feed bag and go nuts. If that is true, that there are 219 back there in the vault, then that's going to only mean one thing. Welcome to episode 220. And today we are going to go to one of our favorite folks and the Pop Culture Club contributor, Emily Arminetti, who is calling us from a quarantined location. Hello, Emily.
Hey, Jim.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Are you okay? I mean, you sound a little tentative.
No, I mean, well, I'm in quarantine, but other than that, everything's great. We're good. We're healthy. I'm a little superstitious.
You're a little superstitious.
Touching wood.
About what?
Yeah. Well, just, I have to touch wood when I say, like, you know, we're all healthy, because what if I say that? And then tomorrow.
So you have all, you are still, you and your family, your immediate family there, you and your husband and two children, still COVID free.
As far as we know, yes.
Have you ever got a test yet?
No, I mean, I so far have not had a need. I don't know of anyone, like, well, first of all, I mean, we're keeping to ourselves mostly. When we do on occasion see other people.
What does that mean? Sounds like there's a break in the dam.
No.
Oh, I could only imagine driveway parties.
No parties. I don't know anyone. Like, I keep hearing of, like, people once and twice removed who have it, you know, but thankfully nobody that I know has had it or tested positive for it, I guess I would say. So I don't know. I mean, there's no need. Like, I don't know anybody who has it. I, I don't have any symptoms of that would make me feel like I need to get tested. I have no plans to meet with the president anytime soon, so I don't think anyone's going to make me take a test. So yeah, we're good.
Yeah, I haven't. We haven't taken a test here at the estate either. But like I said, we haven't. Aside from going out to the grocery store once a week, that's pretty much the extent of my my socializing. So,
I mean, I don't even do that. So you might even be at higher risk.
Well, I've gone to the dentist.
Get stuff delivered.
Yeah, I've gone to the dentist.
You've been to the dentist.
I've been to the dentist, and I've been to I've gotten haircuts.
Oh, okay. Well, now see, now you're telling me that I'm having.
Yeah, but I'm like, following. But I'm going to places where they legally have to follow protocols, unlike you going to, like,
going to my driveway.
going to these driveway parties where, it's Sodom and Gomorrah.
I don't go to driveway parties.
Oh, I mean, I've seen some pictures of friends of mine, and I'm just shaking my head.
Yeah.
They're just it looks like the summer of 2019.
Right.
Remember way back then?
Remember
a year ago how carefree life was?
I know. A year ago, 6 months ago.
I know, exactly. Oh, but I'm just saying, last summer, I mean, I'm seeing pictures.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, they went on this trip with his brother and their family, a lot of kids, and they're all just, I'm like, they're eating at the same table, they're arms around each other, holding beers. I'm just like, oh, I know that it's your brother and everything, but so what? We don't know where they've been. No, I mean, that's the thing. You can't count just because they're family. You don't know where they've been.
Nope,
you can't. You just can't trust that. I mean, we've been invited out to a few things, and I'm just like, I'm not trying to be a jerk here, but, so far so good, and so I'm not going to chance it.
Yeah, you want to keep it that way.
Yeah. So anyway, well, this actually dovetails well into what I wanted to talk about today in the Pop Culture Club, because it's all about, possibly or not possibly now going out and into public places and feeling comfortable. And so a very interesting and real in terms of the business of movies, this is a big shock. I don't know if it's going to be as much of a big shock maybe to the average movie fan initially, but I think you will find when this news becomes maybe much more known, or when it actually comes to the point where you can utilize it, it's going to be like, wow, this is different. If you haven't been, I know that a lot of people these days, I don't know how much people are even following the news, because it's just so strange, and every day is a weird something new. But a few weeks ago, Universal Pictures, one of the biggest movie production studios, and AMC Theaters, which is the biggest theater chain in the world, agreed to allow the studios to offer first run films, the ones that open on a Friday that everybody's anxious to hear about, the ones that the news always talks about, the opening weekend, and here are the box office totals for this weekend. Those first run movies will soon be available on demand or on streaming services in your homes much sooner than they used to be. There used to be, the agreement was that a new film, a first run film, would show at the theater for up from 75 to 90 days. So we're talking like 3 months. And then after it sort of ran its course at the theaters felt that they got their fill out of that, because new ones are coming and then people go to see those. Then they would be shown on demand, pay-per-view. Well, that has been the way it is, and obviously the movie theaters liked that because they had their turf nicely protected. But given what's happened in the last 5 months, theaters have been closed for the most part. A few tried to open. Either no one came or they just decided it wasn't cost effective to keep them open because very few people were there and because of the protocols that had to be put in place. To the point where AMC, the largest theater group in the country, back in June, they were floating ideas of possibly going bankrupt. Things were so bad. On the other end, you've got movie studios that have been sitting there waiting to release these multi-million dollar movies this summer, like Top Gun 3 or the Ghostbusters Afterlife sequel or Wonder Woman 1984 or the new Christopher Nolan film. These major movies that were supposed to come out that have just been sitting on the vine because, once again, nowhere to show them. So I guess desperation on both sides, as well as people flocking to on-demand and streaming services during this entire pandemic to get their entertainment because they couldn't go out to public places, those all transpired into a new development. I don't know when it's going to take place exactly. I don't know if that's been ironed out yet, but before, you had to wait 3 months before you could see a new movie in your home. And now, that 90 days between... Now, this is just a Universal Movies and AMC. Who knows? I'm sure the other studios and the other theater chains will follow suit. But for right now, it's Universal and AMC. They will be able to show movies 17 days after they've opened, which basically means in less than 3 weeks... you can see a movie that's still at the theater that is a new movie. Many times you probably don't even go to see a new movie until it's 2 or 3 weeks out. And now instead of having to go to the movie theater, you can watch it at home. I don't know how about you feel, Emily, but I think that's a major, major deal in how people in the future are going to enjoy movies.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, you know, these days, when I get to the movie theater, I mean, before all of this, we'll say, it was usually because there's like a new animated film out. Because like, now that I have kids, I feel like that, you know, stuff, like, we don't really, if there's something that I want to see in the theater, I'll go maybe with some friends. But like, if we're having a date night or something, my husband and I don't really want to like, get a babysitter to go to the movies, you know, it's like,
right.
We'll go out to dinner, yeah, like right. with other couples, you know, you can social. We don't want to just sit there and stare at a screen for a couple hours. Cause like, you know, the time is more precious. That said, it's like, so then the flip side of that coin is when there's like a new kids movie out, we'll usually go see it like more or less as soon as it comes out. Cause the kids get excited about it and it's something different to do. But yeah, you know, this is different. And as you know, I mean, I know you don't like this, but once the theaters started opening bars in them, oh. I was kind of like, oh, you know, we have a little recliner for.
Oh, yeah. Seat. Well, that was one. I mean, they have certainly upgraded and enhanced the entire theater going experience. I mean, to your point for sure. About a date night, I think they have tried their best to turn the theater into a quasi restaurant / club, you know, to give right. you that sense that that it is it can be a viable date night where you can go out and stand by a bar and, you know, have a couple of drinks beforehand and have a meal either before the movie starts or inside the theater while the movie's on, as right. well as, like you said, the new comfortable chairs, the recliners. You know, so they've certainly upgraded that experience.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I mean, but then again, on the flip side of it too, is like, I kind of like that I can see things like, so again, there's something that I really personally want to see, it's rare that I actually get to the theater to see it. So I end up watching it on demand anyway. And like, it did feel like it, to be honest, it always felt like even longer than 3 to 6 months from the time when it's like, let's say if it's something really huge, you know,
that you want to see, and what, like, for you it would be like Rocket Man, right?
Right.
You
know, yeah.
You were.
Oh yeah. No. I mean, yeah. There's some movies. I don't even go to movies, to the movie theater all that much anymore. But yeah, if there's a movie like, you know, obviously like Rocket Man, or, you know, some kind of a Martin Scorsese film, or like, I mean, last year I saw the Quentin Tarantino movie, you know, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So there's some movies that, you know, just as that I have that I can't, I don't want to wait 3 months to see.
Right, right. Well, and that actually, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is a perfect example, because that is a movie that I really wanted to see in the theater, and I just didn't get around to getting there. And then I think I ended up watching it on my iPad on a flight.
You Which know, is not the best way to watch it.
No, it's not the best way to watch it. But that said, do I mind that now I don't have to wait that long and I can watch something in my home? Like, That's kind of nice.
Yeah. I mean, from my standpoint, like I said, I mean, once again, you know, I'm coming from a standpoint here. This has not been an easy thing for me, but this has actually been just out of just facing the realities. I mean, you know, for 10 years in my career, I worked for movie magazines. I wrote, stories. I wrote a regular movie column. So I was way, way into movies, mm-hmm. not just personally, which I always have been since a little kid, but even professionally. So I would be going to see a movie. A lot of times I'd be going to screenings. I'd see movies two or three times a week.
Right.
And then going and going to the movies at least two or three times, aside from that, you know, two or three times a month. So I was always going to movies. And I have to say, over the last 20 years, and I'm not proud of this, but it's just reality. Maybe not the last 20, but certainly the last 15, with the growth of the superhero movie and the animation movie, which you just mentioned, you know, I'm not a superhero fan. I was never a comic book reader. I'm not a big fan of action movies, of crashes, of explosions. That's not my thing.
Right.
And that's all pretty much the movies that are out now, movies that are character driven with stories, sadly, I've just fallen by the wayside. The major studios are like, hey, this is where the money is. And you can't argue with that. I mean, those are the movies that make $200 million over the first two or three weekends. Mm-hmm. And so that's what it's become. So sadly, I haven't been going to see movies. I can, to your point, I can wait 2 or 3 months. Unless there's a real kind of movie made by somebody that, you know, either an actor or a director that is really up my alley. But yeah, I just think that this changes the whole dynamic, because now I don't know about you, but how do you feel about the movie theater experience today?
Well, I mean, do you mean like
the whole experience?
Oh, do you mean pre-COVID?
No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Before COVID, because my point is, yeah, I haven't gone, not only because of the movie offerings, but because of the movie patrons.
Because of the movie patrons. Well, see, I know you don't like it because you don't like people like me show up there.
What do you do?
And I get my, you know, glass of wine, a cocktail.
Oh.
I personally think in a pre-COVID world, the experience, actually, they enhanced it in a way that made it more appealing for someone like me. Because again, like I had reached, you know, and I used to go to the movies a lot, you know, when I was young. And then, of course, like even in my 20s, you know, you go with friends. I used to go pretty regularly to the movies back when I lived in Chicago. And then, of course, you know, then you get busy with work, and then I had kids, and so then that takes over. And if you do end up going to the movies, and you know me, I do not get into animated films. I mean, I might as well be staring at the wall for 2 hours. So, but you know, you do it for your kids, and they get excited, you know, they get to go, and they pick out, you know, some candy, and they have some popcorn, and I, you know, that's the whole thing. And I like, when I go to the movies, I like to do that. Let's just get the popcorn, let's get the treat, because it is part of the whole experience, you know, and it makes it, you know, that much more fun. But so then they kind of enhanced it in a way that it was like perfect for someone like me, because, you know, if I'm going to the movies, I'm probably now not necessarily seeing something that would be my first choice to see. So at least I can sit, kick back, and have a cocktail. It's comfortable. you can get – now, I know this may not be up your alley.
Are we going to have to call the Department of Family Services?
I know, right?
It's great. My kids watch a movie, and I can get drunk.
Right. I'm not driving home, and I'm not the only one. So
you remind me of Claire from Modern Family.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, there's a reason why Claire's character resonates, okay? I know you might not necessarily take advantage of this, but like, I like that I can just get buy the tickets ahead of time. You can reserve your seats ahead of time now, you know, so they make it pretty easy. But now that we're in the situation that we're in, I couldn't see myself going to a movie theater right now.
Yeah, some movie theaters over, you know, when the loosening of a lot of the CDC guidelines, the CDC guidelines sadly never even, were implemented. I mean, so many states, including the cowboy state that you live in, Texas,
yeah,
pretended as if they didn't even exist. And lo and behold, you're a hot spot. Who would have?
Right.
Who could have predicted that? But a lot of theaters, try to open with a 25% capacity and everything else. And to your point, as much as people were anxious to get out and socialize, it seems like they mostly wanted to go to restaurants and bars. And there was some weird kind of delineation. They ran. I mean, as soon as they heard a bar was open, they ran to the bar. They ran to their favorite restaurant, but then suddenly when it came to going to movie theater, they're like, oh, well, I don't know if I want to go to a movie theater. And it's like, well, wait a minute. I mean.
Right. But then I think about it. I'm like, did COVID just accelerate the situation that the movie theaters were already in? Because with so many streaming services, and that's kind of the way people are starting to just get used to consuming content, like, maybe they were headed this way anyway, and this just, you know.
Well, the thing is, that's you're exactly correct, and that was a point I wanted to talk about. The fact of the matter is that they have been wanting to shorten that window from, you know, the 90-day usual window that a theater had, like I described earlier, to shorten it to exactly, because of exactly what you're saying. They've wanted to, but, you know, the unions and the theater clout of saying, hey, gang, we still make your money for you. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple of years ago, the box office receipts at theaters were like $12 billion. And so by enhancing things, to your point, and making it a more pleasurable and convenient experience, the theaters were saying, look, you don't know how many people really want to stay at home. You know, I mean, don't forget, even with this new arrangement, which, as I said, is from the business standpoint is earth shattering, because it now gives people an amazing option. It gives me an amazing option. I will now be able to see movies more, you know, the average movie that I may have wanted to see, but not enough to go to a movie theater. Now, I mean, you know, in 2.5 weeks, now, granted, it'll cost me more. I mean, I'm sure that they're going to probably charge for the first run movies. They're probably going to charge you $35 or more.
But see, I think that's a mistake. I think they need to strike a balance. You don't want to feel like you're still paying for a movie theater ticket, but you're not leaving your home.
So you are paying now for the opportunity to see it sooner. So that's where the value add
is. But think about it. But psychologically, you're used to paying a certain price point for something that you're renting.
Right.
On your home TV. Yeah. You know, so I think there's going to be like a mental shift that has to happen, or, you know.
Well, I mean, the thing is, too, to your point about, that's a really good point. Did COVID, create this? I think as I think you're kind of alluding to, COVID accelerated this.
Well, that's what I'm saying. COVID accelerated it.
Yeah, and also
in this direction anyway,
and accelerated it because the theaters are dying, and so they you know because I don't know if you saw the history of this, but what was so ironic about this announcement, it was not only shocking because the theaters actually gave up their turf. I mean, you know, this was an amazing capitulation to the movie studios. Because, you know, now they are going to be doing battle with the home theater or the home theaters, you know, in the streaming services even more than they have in the past. Because now, you know, I can wait now 3 weeks. I may never even walk into a movie theater again.
Right. But the thing is, though, what choice did they have?
Well, that's the thing. With them
into theaters right now.
But here was the thing. Initially, Universal, in the first couple of months of the shutdown, when things were really tight, they were starting to offer newer movies on demand. And AMC said, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And they said, just for that, we are no longer showing your movies.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah. So they came out and they were, I mean, and at the time they were really, you know, the theaters were really flexing their muscles because Universal is one of the biggest, most successful movie makers in Hollywood. And for them to say, we're not going to show your movies again, they were potentially turning down hundreds of millions of dollars in revenues. And box office and people coming in and buying you know, all their glasses of wine and their popcorn, but there's right. They mean, said you
and
can't.
If you think that the markup on popcorn is huge? I mean, imagine what the business the bar does.
Oh,
right?
Definitely. So they were making them, but once again, to show you how times change so fast, especially in this COVID world. So they were flexing their muscles and saying, "Hey, screw you, Universal. You're breaking the rules, and so just for that, we're banning you from our theaters, to almost like a punishment. Like, we are not going to let you in our theaters." A month later, they were the movie theaters were so hard up and just hemorrhaging that they agreed to, you know, just lay down and let the studios make the call to say, hey, at the end of the day, movie theaters, we have the content.
Right.
And so content is king, and that's been proven many times. And so, I mean, I think that's what I mean, this COVID thing has been a terrible, just plague on every level of our society, economic, personal, you name it. But what is interesting that there have been a few businesses that have taken advantage of this to get what they've wanted, which they've always wanted. I mean, at the end of the day, this would have happened, but it may have happened 5 years from now.
Right.
And, you know, I always keep bringing up sports and baseball just because I'm just so crazed by the fact that they're even playing. But I'm not going to get into that. But what I will say is that baseball did the same thing. Baseball initiated some new rules for this season and next season, which they've always wanted to, but were afraid that the Players Association wouldn't okay them, or that the fans would rebel against them, or baseball purists would say, oh, you're ruining the game. But in this COVID world, people were so desperate for baseball that they were just willing to accept anything. Mm-hmm. And so baseball initiated this the designated hitter in the National League, which it never has had, and some other speed up rules. And I guarantee you, those are going to be there forever now. You know, right. And so baseball took advantage of the fact that they could sneak these things in while kind of nobody was watching or caring. They just wanted the game to play. And it's the same thing here. The movie studios were like, you know what, gang? We know that people are way into the streaming services and on demand. You know, let's not forget, people have either legitimately, dedicated rooms called a home theater, but at the very least, big screen TVs, 60-inch TVs are under $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and great sound systems are affordable. And so suddenly, and nice big comfy chairs that you can, the same chairs that you can get in the theater, I've seen them in stores.
Right.
So you can make your own, and they're not that crazy either. So if you say, hey, you know what, I want to do this in my home, the technology is there now, and people are saying, hey, you can't beat the commute.
Right.
Well, and
this is an industry that is going through now what the music industry went through a handful of years ago when Spotify
right.
went off, and you know, so and obviously iTunes was huge, and so it seems like maybe it was just this was kind of like a natural next step for them. But and I do also wonder how much it made a difference that there, so like right when stuff started to shut down, which I remember very vividly because it was, and we've talked about this, it was the kickoff of spring break here
right.
in our community. So, you know, people had trips planned and we were canceling all those plans and whatever. But I also remember that in the lead up to this, in the few weeks before that, they were heavily promoting the Trolls sequel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Which Trolls was a huge, huge hit movie with families and kids. And, you know, of course, my kids watched it. It's actually one of the animated films that I don't mind. It is kind of cute.
You only had one glass of wine during that one.
Only one, yeah. I only needed one to get through it. That's the key, to get yeah. through it. yeah.
Sometimes sometimes Emily walks into the theater, knows she's going to hate it, and just says, leave the bottle.
Yeah, give me the whole bottle.
Leave the bottle.
So Trolls is actually not bad as far as the animated Trolls. Movies. It's not that annoying. The music is good because it was like Gwen Stefani and Justin Timberlake. They kind of spearheaded the soundtrack for the original. And so anyway, Trolls 2 was coming out. And I remember saying to my kids, like, oh, because it was coming out, I think, in early April. It maybe was even April 1st. And so I remember saying to the kids, like, oh, you know, oh, the new Trolls movie is coming out. So we'll go see that. I'll take you. And then, of course, within, you know, a few weeks of that, because they were already heavily promoting it in the lead up to when everything shut down. So I wonder if things like that were almost a case study for them.
Oh, that's what it, yeah. Trolls, that was actually one of the ones that sort of spearheaded this whole thing.
Yeah. Because they released it on demand because they couldn't release it in the theaters.
Right.
And my understanding is it did really well. And I'm not surprised. We still haven't seen it just because, you know, life. But, and actually, now that I'm thinking of it, we should watch it. But you know, my understanding is that it did almost as well as it would do had it been released in the theaters.
Yeah, well,
you know?
And to your point, so did Scooby-Doo. There was a new Scooby-Doo movie.
Really?
Yeah, that you know, I mean, I had no idea that they were even reviving Scooby, and it was a cartoon. It wasn't live action.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it was a cartoon. And once again, animated, you know, I mean, kids, just as you said, especially during this COVID thing, they're just, you know, going crazy for any kind of diversion or entertainment. And that thing did big money. A Tom Hanks film was released. I don't think it did that well. I mean, Pete Davidson put out a movie that was very critically acclaimed, I think did fairly well. So there was some initial movies, big name movies, big star movies that were sort of put out there on demand, because some of these big movies that that they want to to hopefully show in a theater, because that's where they can pack in 300 people at a time all across the country on 4,000 screens. You know, there's this, as I said earlier, this Christopher Nolan film, who did, you know, the Batman trilogy and other things. There's a new one of his, you know, crazy kind of mind-bending films called Tenet. And so they have pushed that back. Initially, it was supposed to come out sometime early summer. They pushed it to July. Then they pushed it to August, hoping that things would get better. And then the spikes happened in cities around the country. And now it has been pushed back indefinitely, as have most movies. And so, because sadly, with the terrible way that this country has handled this COVID thing, You really cannot. I mean, it sounds crazy, but you really can't make a plan more than 2.5 weeks in advance anymore.
No, you really can't.
I mean,
we're supposed to start back to school in a couple weeks, and I mean, the plans are changing daily.
Yeah,
because
it's impossible.
It's such a fluid situation.
And I think that they thought that hopefully, when things were opening up, that they might be able to, you know, people would, you know, would feel comfortable and come back in with all these protocols and yada da, and then, you know, and especially when big states like Texas, where you live, or Florida, or California, and the majority of the South was hit so hard, a movie studios are like, wait a minute, half of our audience can't even legally walk into those theaters.
Right.
So I think they finally decided that, you know, they like I said, desperation on both sides, because they're sitting on all these, and most of these movies now most likely will not be, will not be shown until 2021, and who knows then? And now I've even read that they're pushing back, you know, because all the studios and production sets have been closed for the last 4 or 5 months. So right. Now even movies that were set to open in 2021 originally are being pushed back a year. You know,
we're about to come. This is the problem too. It's not in the grand scheme of things a problem, but we are about, like, the content is already getting thin.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, Jim, honestly, like, I have reached a point where any day now I may have to start watching Below Deck. So,
oh, there you go. Welcome aboard.
I know.
Watch your step.
Pleasure. I know. And guess what? You may have to start watching The Real Housewives.
Oh, so. I don't think things will never get that bad. Things will never get that bad, but you know, you're right. I mean, the ultimate, movies have either shut down and you never see those. But what happened was, you know, you'd be surprised. Most TV shows are not filmed all that much in advance. They a lot of times while the current season is in process, they are still filming, and so. A couple of shows, like I watched the Showtime show Billions, mm-hmm. with Damian Lewis and what's Giamatti's first name now? I'm blanking.
Paul Giamatti.
And mm-hmm. so they usually have 13 episodes. Well, yeah. COVID hit while they were halfway through the season, and so they showed this season, but now this past season ended after 7 episodes.
But so it ended, or
it didn't end. I'm saying now that the next, I mean, it'll continue.
So you're waiting now.
Yeah, and it was in kind of an odd place to end for the season, right. You know, because it wasn't meant to end. The other one that was a crazy one. I don't know. Do you ever watch that show Blacklist? Remember, you know, with James Spader? It's on NBC. You ever heard of it, or you ever watch it?
I know the show. I watched it.
Yeah, I like James Spader, and yeah,
it's supposed to be really good.
It's very good. It's getting past its prime. It was a very cool, initial storyline and a mythology around it, and I think they're kind of milking it a little more. I'm hoping it'll end soon because I mean it just seems like we're starting to see the same stuff. But this is what happened to them. Apparently, they got almost through their entire shooting schedule until the shutdown, where they had 2 episodes left to film. So the season finale was definitely, that never even got, you know, on its feet. But the episode before the season finale, they did start filming, but they didn't finish.
Right.
So this was, I mean, it really, I mean, I'll give you credit, but so a few weeks ago on the podcast here, I had a whole podcast about sometimes something is better than nothing. Or, I mean, nothing is better than something. Everybody always says, well, something's better than nothing. There's sometimes when nothing is better than something. Just do without, because it's not as good. You know, I mean, would you rather have a good pizza or a bad pizza?
Oh, I mean, I would rather have a good pizza.
Right. So, but if you have a bad pizza,
or no pizza at all?
Yeah. I mean, I would rather have no pizza at all than a bad pizza. And that's right. And so with this Blacklist thing, they put you know, to keep the to sort of end the, you know, the season here with something, they combined the real live action footage that they did film out of sequence at the time with animation. Whatever the scene was, they animated the remainder of the half scenes or the full scenes that they didn't film.
Really?
So in the middle of the show, we've got James Spader talking and doing something, and then all of a sudden the next second he's animated.
Right. That's weird. Although I commend them for creativity. Well, yeah. That's weird.
Well, it was an interesting idea. It probably sounded good on paper, but it was very distracting. And it really just, you were just like, okay, this doesn't seem real. It seems fake.
Okay, this is something I was wondering. So I was watching, just yesterday, I was watching, do you know The Politician?
Yeah. I haven't seen that. That's the Ryan Murphy on.
That's good. Yeah. Okay, so here's what I would say about The Politician. The first season was kind of like, meh. I mean, when I heard that this was going to be on Netflix, when it first came out, I was excited. I like Ryan Murphy's work.
He did American Horror Story and Glee and all these other
exactly things. Yeah, and so I thought, oh, this will be good, you know. And it's like, oh gosh, what's the guy's name? I forget. Anyway, the star of the show, he's like a young, you know, he was like a Broadway star. I think he was in Evan Hansen, and he's very good. And then it has, you know, like Lucy Boynton, who was in Rocket Man. I think she played, you know, Elton's ex-wife or
friend. And Jessica Lange in that? Or no?
Jessica Lange was in the first season. Yeah. Gwyneth Paltrow is in it. She doesn't do a lot of stuff these days, but her husband is one of the creators and writers. And so anyway, so I was excited for it to come out. The first season was kind of like, okay. The second season, I wasn't even sure if I was going to watch it. But of course now, like I said, content is getting thin. So I was like, oh, let's give it a shot. Now the second season is outstanding. I mean, the storyline is more interesting than the first one, but also Judith Light and Bette Midler have joined for the second season. And those two, watching them, it's like watching a masterclass in acting. But what I was wondering yesterday, so I was kind of getting toward the end, it was maybe the second to last episode, or maybe even the last episode. In the middle of the episode, there is a FaceTime call between Gwyneth Paltrow's character and Judith Light's character. And it made me wonder, did they pretty much have all of this filmed, but then they needed this one scene added and they couldn't do it?
Right.
So then they decided to film. Because I was watching it and thinking, it just seems so out of place in this episode. And also in the way that the series goes, like, you would normally see a phone conversation taking place as
one side to it. Yeah, one side and then the next. Not both on the same thing.
Right. You're seeing, maybe even if it's a FaceTime, you would see Gwyneth Paltrow holding her cell phone and maybe talking into whatever. This was like a split screen.
Yeah, right.
Right. And so that was what I was wondering. Like, was that just a kind of a creative workaround?
Well, I don't understand. I mean, I don't know how they're going to. I mean, is there going to be a new TV season in next month or in October? I mean, when could they? I mean, they usually start to film the new TV seasons, which start in September or now October. They usually start to film the first few episodes in August.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from what I've just seen and when I see people being interviewed about their shows or whatever, it seems like most people just don't really know, especially like recently, I think, which was it, the Emmys that were announced or the...
Yeah, the Emmys were announced.
Yeah, the Emmy nominations were announced. And so a lot of the actors for like popular series have been doing this, you know, interview circuit, and they're all being asked the same question about when are you going to go back into production? And none of them seem to really know. They just kind of have that, you know, they've been given the message of, well, we don't know, but when we can safely get back, you know, we'll get back to it. So they don't know. Same thing's going to happen, like to your point with movies. It's just, we don't know when they'll be able to start, going into production again.
And like I said, though, the other thing about going to them, and this is very real. I understand what you're saying, you know, for you and your kids. You know, they want to see a new movie. You go. It's an experience for the kids. It's still cool. you know, movie theater, that whole, when you walk in, it smells like popcorn. It's just this new place for them, you know, comfortable chairs and, you know, electric recliners and the big screen and all the sound. I get it's a sensory overload and it's very cool. Now, from your standpoint, like you said, you're sitting there basically babysitting while they're enjoying the film. So you're not really caring or noticing your, and I mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast here, you're really not noticing your fellow movie patrons. And if you miss a line or if somebody's being, you know, irritating in your mind, you're not really watching the movie. So who cares? Right?
Yeah, I'm not really that bothered by it. But
yeah, well, see, well, it drives me crazy. So from my standpoint, that isn't, I mean, not only has the content sort of kept me away from movies, I'm not into the superheroes, I'm not into really fantasy movies. I mean, I've seen, you know, I've gone to see all the Lord of the Rings and the Harry Potter movies, mostly because my wife likes those. And I have gone, but I mean, I fall asleep most of the time.
Oh yeah.
Even with all the crashes. Yeah, with all the crashes and explosions, I'll still fall asleep.
Right.
It's just not interesting to me. I mean, it is interesting, but not to that extent. I just like a good comedy or a well-written drama with real people. I don't like anyone in capes.
Right.
You know, unless it's the Phantom
like
of the
explosions.
Opera. I don't need an explosion. I mean, just to let you know, I mean, one of my favorite movies as growing up was The Blues Brothers. I mean, my God, the summer that came out, me and a friend of mine literally went to see it when it first came out almost every day for like a week. We went to the Norwich Theater at, you know, we were 16 years old. And
did you say the Norwich Theater?
The Norwich Theater, yeah, on Harlem
Avenue.
That's
where my mom grew up, in Norwich.
Oh, yeah. That was because at that time, that was one of the first, the best theaters that had, you know, that had the nice reclining chair, not reclining like today, but at least they weren't like in the, you know, they moved back. You can move back in them. Most, you know, old, like, you know, when you sit and go into
it's
an old
like the
theater.
Airplane seat reclines.
Yeah.
You can just only slightly.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it doesn't even recline. It just sort of swiveled back. You just, you know, it had like a spring on it. Because most theaters were still older and they had those stationary theater seats that were just wooden and stuck in one place. Mm. But anyway, so we would, you know, well, when, I don't know if you remember, if you've ever seen The Blues Brothers or you remember it, but the last 20 minutes of The Blues Brothers is just this ridiculous time-wasting car chase.
Yeah.
And it's all crashes and just, you know, the whole thing, just, you know, just whatever. I hated it. When home video came available, I initially taped, you know, on my own, you know, I didn't buy the official version. I recorded it from somebody else's tape, you know. Mm-hmm. I edited out the entire ending. My version of the Blues Brothers did not have the crash, the last 20 minutes of the movie. Not interested in it. Don't need it. Don't want to waste the time on the tape.
Right.
You know, so that's where I'm at. But not only, so that's, you know, but I have to say, there is no question that in the last 15 years, and as more people are watching movies at home, the DVD certainly, you know, changed the world as well, even though I think those things are kind of obsolete, just like CDs are. But people got used to talking during movies.
Yeah.
People got used to being very casual at movies. Because that's what they did at home. They laid around. They talked loud. They talked during the movie. Then with the cell phones, of course, there's texting, and there you could see that distracting bright light, or the phone rings during the climactic quiet, you know, during the execution scene when everything's quiet, then someone's phone rings.
Right.
And you think it's the governor, you know, calling a last reprieve in the movie. And it's the person next to you's phone. You know, I'm watching this going, oh, my God, the governor's calling. They're not going to execute him. And then it's the person next to me going, hello?
Yeah.
You know, and then, of course, I don't know if you've, and I am not joking on this, because several years ago, before they had the giant, puffy, comfy chairs that they have now, they still had comfortable chairs, but they were still all in a row. And, you know, there was, you had to share an armrest type of thing. You don't even do that anymore, really. And you had somebody directly behind you, you know.
Yeah.
One time, I'm sitting in the theater, and I'm not exaggerating, and I'm not lying. Somebody's foot comes popping out on my armrest.
Right.
Barefoot. Barefoot.
Oh, that is terrible.
And I'm like, what the? So I literally took my elbow. And I'm like, what the shit? I mean, am I going to get into a fight here?
Look, I think if someone does that, you have every right to say to them, excuse me, can you move your foot, please?
And I've seen, and now what I've seen when I've gone to the movie theaters, as scant times as it's been, I have seen people, not thankfully next to me, but down the row, especially if it's summer and they're wearing flip-flops or sandals. Mm-hmm. On the footrest, they will have their dirty, smelly, bare feet.
That is so gross.
And I'm like, what is happening here? I mean, okay. I mean, I'm paying $15, you know, $10 to $15 now to come in here. And I'm sitting in this cesspool of bad hygiene.
Of
and
foot germs.
Of bad hygiene and bad behavior.
Right.
And so I'm sorry, but, you know, I mean, and then they spill stuff and all, and then everybody's getting up. And now, I mean, so, you know, with the, what happens like when the, because I never even have done that. So do you get served during the movie?
Well, it depends. So in, you know, because there are chains that do that. You know, where they're set up to do it. You know, they have there's like a ledge in front of you and they can bring you food, and they have little cards that you fill out before the movie starts where you order.
Right.
But they'll try to like discreetly come through midway through the film and see if you need anything else. Okay, there's that.
There's no, but here's my point. There's no such thing as discreet.
But I know, but then there's like, you know, then the AMC type chains, the more traditional theaters, in that case you have to go back out to the concessions as you normally would.
Like, and
so when I need my second glass of wine, no one is bringing it to me. Okay. I have to get up and go. I have to go to the
bar. I mean, that's the other thing, like your point. So that they have this in theater service, and you know look, some popcorn, you know, some jujubes, some raisinettes, I'll give it to you. But now, I mean, people are ordering 7-course meals.
Oh, I've had a Cobb salad in the so, middle of a, I'm not kidding.
Oh, I understand that. So now in the course of this movie, now you're smelling pizza. You're smelling nachos. You're hearing the nacho. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? And right.
But I don't mind it, though. It's especially helpful if you are going to the movies at a time when you would normally be eating a meal. You don't have to
go to the
movie and then go after it.
Well, I mean, I just feel like they're pandering and catering to people's worst instincts of laziness and sloth and hunger. All the, you know, those 7 deadly sins. They all take place in a movie theater.
Right.
All of them. Lust. You know, they all do.
Right after I moved to Austin, we have a chain here of, it's a small chain of that type of theater where, you know, it's totally set up for like full food service and all that. But I read that they have this like baby Tuesdays, and the idea is the first two showing times of the day on Tuesday, you can bring a baby, which to me it was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is because I had a 7-month-old baby.
Yeah.
And we were somewhat cooped up because our house was being renovated and we were being put up at this hotel and whatever. So I thought, oh, that's it. I'm going to go. I'm going to, you know. And so I take the baby in the carrier thing. We get to this particular theater has a weird, it's very hard to find the entrance to their parking lot. And I was new in town, so I'd never been there. And so if not for that weird situation, I actually would have been on time. But so now I walk in, it's noon on a Tuesday. Okay. I'm going to the baby movie everyone who is there probably has a baby with them.
Right.
And I walk up to the counter. It is literally like the movie was at noon. It's 12:01. And the teenager behind the counter says to me, oh, I'm sorry, but I can't sell you a ticket for that. And I was like, well, what do you mean? Is it sold out? And he said, no, we can't allow anyone entry after the time of the movie, like the scheduled time of the movie. And I was like, well, first of all, you're probably playing 20 minutes of
right. Exactly.
There. Yes. But it's just our policy. We can't. I'm like, second of all, this is the baby movie. Okay. Not to mention, we're also, again, at the theater where
it's
going to come up to you and whisper, anything else? Can I get you anything?
Right.
So I'm like, wait a second. What are you kidding me? You can't make an exception in this one case. And I tell you what, I think I just looked so shocked. And I also remember this was like the one thing that I was going to do. So I was really on the verge of getting emotional. And I think the kid realized it. And finally he was like, all right, here you go. Just take this ticket
just,
on.
Just go away, old lady. Oops. Did we lose her?
That makes no sense in the context of this particular situation. I mean, I do understand, you know, and I actually do appreciate that under normal circumstances, they have that rule because then you don't have people who are coming in and trying to find a seat when you're trying to watch the movie, you know?
Well, I have to say too, now, it had been so long since I had been in a theater that, and I can't remember which Star Wars film it was in recent years. I think it was The Last Jedi. You know, once again, with my flip phone technology, I'm not up on all these things.
No, of course.
But I hadn't been to a theater in a long time. So I wasn't aware of this reserved seating thing that suddenly went into play.
Right.
And so, you know, when we got to the movies, they said, oh, well, you know, you've got to go on the screen. And there was no seats available. They're only for the first row and everything. And so we wound up going to another theater, which didn't have that policy, which I still like because it was nice old school. Just walked in and picked a seat. But what I don't like about this reserved seating is the reason why I like to walk in a theater and choose where I sit is because I want to make sure I'm not sitting next to a 7-month-old kid who's going to be crying or a 7-year-old kid who's going to be anxious and have ants in his pants and wants to get out of his seat every 10 seconds and run around the aisles, or somebody that I could tell is already walking in with arms filled of food and pop, who are going to be eating and talking throughout the whole thing. I don't want to sit next to them. And if I reserve seats, I don't know.
You're scanning for the guy in flip-flops, and you're like,
right.
No.
And if I reserve a seat at home, I don't know who's sitting next to me. Right. Whether it's going to be a nice, hygienic, considerate person sitting next to me, or a sloppy, barefooted, starving, loud talking person, which is going to ruin the movie for me. So I really do not like
because you
the reserved seating.
I'll sit next to her, and then, you know, after 3 glasses of wine,
You're
regretting that. You're like, gee, I thought this girl looked like she had her
stuff together. Oh yeah, I'm sure. Oh yeah, no, I would have moved away from you so fast. When I saw the first glass of wine, I would have went, oh, look at Claire over here. Okay, I'm leaving.
You saw the little plastic Solo cup of wine.
Yeah, I'm like, look at Claire. I'm leaving. but yeah, I mean, I think that that at the end of the day here, this is going to be huge. As I said, it's only right now between AMC and Universal, but there's no question that the other you know, major chains and the other major theaters are going to wind up following this lead. And so I personally think it's a good thing. For me, I will certainly use it. because I will get a chance to see movies that I maybe, you know, felt a little out of the, you know, out of the whole pop culture thing, because I didn't see some movie that everybody's talking about, you know.
Right.
And I'm not getting references, and I'm not understanding what's going on and why are people talking about this. But once again, it's just the being adverse to going to that theater situation just because the people, you know, have just made it untenable for me. So now I'm much happier. And here's an interesting byproduct that may come from this, which I can only keep my fingers crossed on. The fact that probably more people that do not want to go to a theater are older people like myself, because younger people are going to always go because they want to get away from their parents and they want to make out.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, so they're always going to go. But for someone like me that doesn't like that big social experience of what the way people are acting today, it's perfect for me. And hopefully a byproduct is, by knowing that they're now serving more older people who will be willing to pay $30 or whatever they decide for that, maybe we'll actually have a revival of adult-oriented, story-driven movies again.
Yeah.
That the studios make, as opposed to just looking for the, you know, the 50th Spider-Man and the 80th Troll. So I'm hoping that maybe this may actually not only have a positive effect on the movie going experience for people like me, but also a positive experience on the actual movies, the content that is made. So that's what I'm hoping on the outside that this happens too, because now they've got access to me. They didn't have access to me before.
Right.
For that first run movie. And now they do. And just to your point, Sue, just so you know, I don't know if this is going to be the standard, but Disney just announced that in September, one of their big summer movies was supposed to be a live-action version of Mulan, the animated film.
Yep.
And they've pushed that thing back several times. They realized, you know, this is a big moneymaker for them. They don't want to just waste it and put it out of the theater and have no people come to it because no one's going or no one can go. So they announced on September 4th that they are going to show Mulan on their Disney Plus streaming service for $30. So that's that's in addition to your monthly fee.
Paying.
Yeah, that's going to be a $30 charge for that movie. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens there. I mean, they're certainly hedging their bets by putting out a very popular film, a kids' film, a Disney film. But it will be interesting to see. I mean, perfect example. Let me ask you: would you pay that?
No, I wouldn't.
But, oh, okay, interesting. Yeah, well, we'll see.
First of all, I don't think my kids really love. I don't think they'd be as into the live action,
right?
You know, interpretations of these movies. So from that perspective, I mean, I'm not interested in it. If they're not interested in it, then I probably wouldn't.
Well, there are
a lot of people out there who will.
Well, there's a lot of. I mean, what they're going for, the same thing they tried to go through. I mean, even though it wasn't critically acclaimed, it made a hell of a lot of money. Was a live action version of Lion King.
Yeah.
And so they're basically playing on the nostalgic view of the kids that were, you know, 15 years ago that saw it and liked it as an animated film and want to see this again. Now they're in their 30s or their, you know, whatever, late 20s, early 30s, and they'll want to see it. And that was a very popular film, and it's gained popularity, especially now in this kind of, you know, female empowerment world. That character has taken on a much larger impact and things. So I mean, they're hedging their bets, but it will be an interesting kind of first shot across the bow with a major release with that price tag. So it'll be interesting to see how it does. All I will say as we close the podcast out is it might be time to upgrade your Sunbeam popcorn maker. Because you are going to have your house smelling like popcorn.
Yeah, you need to create the experience.
Do you make popcorn at home?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Anytime we're watching a movie with the kids at home, well, they love making popcorn.
Do you remember those bad Sunbeam popcorn makers? Where they were a plastic dome.
Yeah, it was like a yellowish.
Yeah, it was like an amberish thing.
Yes, amber. That's a perfect way to describe
it. And then at the top, there was this little compartment where you put a stick of butter in it, and it had holes, And so as the popcorn was popping, the butter was sliding down the side of the dome and buttering the popcorn.
Yeah.
It had to be the most disgusting thing on earth. I don't even remember if it really worked, but what was cool about it, you saw the butter trailing down the side.
All right.
And you said, "Wow, that's cool." I don't know if it really buttered it, but everyone had that. Everyone had that sunbeam thing. And of course there was the Jiffy Pop, which, you know, is still around, I think, right? Isn't
your
Jiffy Pop around?
Your perception was that your popcorn was buttered.
Yeah, and it really wasn't. There, you know, the sad part is now, especially now that they at the theaters, they just give you the butter, or they give you the popcorn, and they have those butter machines. There's really no good way to butter it now.
No, they have the, oh my God, those butter pumps.
Oh
think just, about how
well, and that. And not only that, but you know, the only good way to use a butter pump would be to have get a, you know, first have your popcorn half filled.
Right, yeah.
Pump whatever that yellow substance is. Because it's not butter, first of all.
No, it is not butter.
Pump that yellow, you know, thick, gooey substance in the first half and then pile on more and then put it on the top. Because there's no way the butter goes to the bottom.
No, it doesn't.
So the top gets saturated.
If you sprinkle the top and you give and you tap and you take the whole bucket and you just kind of tap it a little bit.
Yeah, but they're still, they need to.
You can't really.
No, they really need to give you, they need, I mean, I don't know how to do it, but there needs to be like a half and then there's a way that you could fill it again because the way it is now, it's terrible.
Right.
It's just not right. But I would say if more first run movies come home, I'm buying a new popcorn maker.
You're going to need it.
Yes, I am. And I want to thank Emily Amornetti for taking some time out in her quarantine, in her Lone Star State quarantine.
Yeah, anytime.
You are surrounded by COVID as we speak, and I am impressed that despite all your fellow Texans coming down with COVID at record numbers, look at you, COVID-free.
I know. Let's just, you know, touch wood. Yep. Hoping to stay that way.
Well, very good. We will talk to you soon. And don't forget, new popcorn maker.
I know. It's on my list.
Okay. Take care. Right, we'll thanks, talk Jim. To you soon.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Don't forget, every Monday a new episode is posted at WGNradio.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. We are there, too. And don't forget to subscribe and to rate this podcast. But most importantly, don't forget to tell your friends. Send them a link, send them a message that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Your loyalty and devotion is much appreciated. I hope you enjoyed episode 220. I'm Jim Toronto. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screen.